family and my children started coming home with unacceptable stories of things that I said to them and how they were treated, I think at that point, Mama Bear came out and I decided it doesn't matter how long it takes, it can take the rest of my life. I will write, speak, and stand for anti-Black racism, against anti-Black racism, and for an equity-centered future. So that's what it means to me personally.
Thank you so much for answering all of these questions and for sharing your story. And I have one last question for you. Do you have a song you want me to play on the radio that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, maybe Brown Skin Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I would like yes.
mm-hmm. Brown Skin Girl. Okay.
And there's a song in it. You're just thinking about the diversity, if it works for you to be able to play too. Mm-hmm. It's Brown Skin Girl. But there's also Yemi Alade's Africa, I mm-hmm. think, just to honor
oh,
again.
Yes. Yeah.
Just that grounding in continental Africa is where mm-hmm. our Black diaspora has come from. So Africa yes. is a song I love.
Yes, I will definitely play these songs for you. And thank you again so much for sharing all of this information with me. And I can only thank you again for your patience and for your time here. And I hope my listeners are inspired now by you. And I will definitely share about your book and your work. Thank you so much. And if you have any last comment, you can share that now if you want.
No, I think I'm good. I think mm-hmm. ending with what it means to me, it mm-hmm. feels impactful. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for speaking with me. And we'll definitely see you on campus again. And thank you for taking this time and for sharing your story here.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Thank you.
That was an interview by our host, Vivian Fertel, with Dr. Yabam Sophie Jackson, who's the VP for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion here at SFU. And I'm sorry we don't have those songs that they were talking about right at the end available today. We do have them here, but they're sort of trapped in a different bit of technology that I'm using to bring you this show today, so I can't sort of go and get them really easily. Which is too bad. They're both really good songs. I remember when this first aired, really good stuff. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus, and I'm your host for today. Let's take a quick look at the weather this week. Today is cloudy, cloudy with sunny with a chance of showers. Highs up to 15 degrees or so. It's going to get down to 10 overnight with some more chance of showers, 30%. The rest of the week's actually looking pretty good. A little bit of cloud tomorrow, highs up to 19. And then later in the week, Thursday, Friday, it is going to be up to about 22 with clear skies. A bit of sun coming in or a bit of cloud coming in on the weekend, but still pretty nice. So I think overall it's going to be a pretty good weekend. Pretty good week and a pretty good weekend. Here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. During the day, an American robin sings a lovely, familiar song of rich phrases. The phrases vary and ring forth with a lilting quality. But as the sun begins to set, robin's song takes on a new and exquisitely different character. From sunset until dark, a robin adds ethereal whispered notes to its carol, creating a song of remarkable grace and complexity. Let's listen more closely to the fine detail of a robin's evening song by slowing down the same notes to half normal speed. Here's another passage of evening song at half speed. In the high latitudes, where twilight lingers late into the evening, a robin may expand its daytime carols into a twilight symphony that continues for hours. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
All right, next up we have a look into traditional Chinese medicine. This is a series done by Chris Spangenberg, talking to a number of traditional Chinese medicine practitioners, and just sort of explaining what to many Westerners is a not often well understood practice now. It's, of course, been formalized by the province through the healthcare system, and practitioners are certified and all the other things that bring them into the mainstream of contemporary health practice. And Chris took a look at a number of different aspects of that. Here is Chris's interview with a Raymond fan.
Hello, my name is Chris Spangenberg, and you are listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, Burnaby Mountain. Today I'm introducing the start of a new 8-episode series of topical interviews. This series is produced for CGSF 90.1 FM's Making Time for Radio project. The subject of the series is traditional Chinese medicine, also abbreviated as TCM, and a TCM community here in Vancouver. In the course of these interviews, I examine the local culture and practice of TCM, as well as inquire into its philosophy and difference from Western medicinal practices. Traditional Chinese medicine comprises an ancient body of knowledge and includes herbal medicine, acupuncture, cupping, and moxibustion as treatments to a wide variety of maladies and illnesses. TCM is a holistic medicine and derives its efficacy from an integrated understanding of health and harmony. While practiced for thousands of years in China, acupuncture, a modality of traditional Chinese medicine, was only legalized in BC in 1996. Yet years before that, Chinese medicine was practiced within the local Asian communities and by Caucasian practitioners in an unregulated milieu. Now, traditional Chinese medicine has flourished in Vancouver. Acupuncture clinics abound in our neighborhoods, and the amount of herbal stores in Chinatown and Richmond attest to its cultural significance and potency. So far, there has been little to no historic or social documentation of the local Vancouver TCM community in practice. As there is, indeed, a flourishing and colorful local TCM community, the absence of informative stories in the media or archival history only further breeds ignorance of traditional Chinese medicine. In this project, I document the experiences of a few practitioners to promote the local TCM community and medicine. Please note that neither I nor the interviewees are bashing Western medicine. In certain instances, we discuss the differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine, but the illustration is purely functional, not ideological. Starting today, every week for the next 8 weeks, a new interview with a TCM practitioner or figure will air in this station. I'll be talking to a diverse group of people, each with their own unique background and coming from a different place within the local traditional Chinese medicine community. I speak with Darcy Carroll, practitioner and proprietor of Polk Community Acupuncture Clinic on Broadway. I also speak with Avon Evan, a traditional Chinese medicine translator and clinic owner in Port Moody, as well as John Stan, a practitioner and founder of the TCM distribution company Eastern Currents here in Vancouver. Furthermore, I talked to Dr. Lionel Ho from the College of Traditional Chinese Medicine on Broadway, Bill Hardman, ex-president of the ATCMA and various other TCM institutions, and Les Moncrief, who pioneered acupuncture in a detox setting. This selection is in no particular order, but these interviews will air over the following weeks. Stay tuned. In this first interview, I'm talking with Raymond Fan, a Chinese medicine herbalist and ex-business owner originally from Hong Kong. We discuss the herbal trade and practice, the herbal store he used to run, and the Taoist philosophy which governs his life. My name is Chris Spangenberg, and you're listening to an interview between me and Raymond Fan on CGSF 90.1 FM. So Raymond, tell me a little about yourself and your history.
When I was 12 years old, I came to Hong Kong from mainland China, and by that time, to get a living, I was lucky enough to be attached to a herbal master as an apprentice. And during my stay with him, then I was educated and influenced by his professional. And by that time, I developed my keen interest in Chinese herbal medicine.
Where were you originally from?
Southern China. I'm living in the high mountains, and I was by that time relatively underprivileged. That is why I'm happy to go to Hong Kong in order to enrich my observation and knowledge.
How long have you been practicing as a Chinese herbalist?
As I've just mentioned, that when I was 12 years old, I was attached to a herbal master, and without interruption, I continued to do Chinese herbals until my master considered me fully qualified. And put in a simple words, I've been practicing it for more than 50 years.
What benefits do you see in Chinese medicine?
The benefit is my health is in good shape, and I know a lot of herbal knowledge and how to lead a healthy and decent life.
When you were younger, was traditional Chinese medicine a common part of your community? Which is to say, was it normal for families to rely on traditional Chinese medicine for good health?
Oh yeah, when I was younger, you know, TCM is a common part of our community. And after maybe introductions of the Western medicine in Hong Kong, and there is some sudden influx, you know, and some people go for Western drugs, and later then they also shift to Chinese medicines.
How long have you been running Boon Chow Tong Herbal Store?
Oh, I see. As far as I know, it's more than 10 years.
When did you start Boon Chow Tong Herbal Store?
It's about 2007, you know.
What made you want to start your own business?
I'm convinced that Chinese medicine is good for well-being and good for health for people. And in order to share with my herbal knowledge, that I feel it necessary to open a Chinese herbal store. And hopefully, you know, many of the people get to know the strength of our Chinese herbals, you know.
Were there any difficulties you encountered in establishing your business in Vancouver?
Oh, yes, there are some difficulties. First of all is the finance, you know. We have a tight budgeting, you know. Secondly, the government policy, you know, we have to overcome of the, you know, the difficulties. For example, you know, to establish a herbal store, one of our partners to get a license. Otherwise, you know, we are not permitted to get the license, you know.
What are the regulations for selling medicinal herbs in Canada?
The general regulation is to make sure the imported herbs are chemical-free. That means no insecticides, excess application of insecticides, and all are in good shape, and some of the indigenous species are not supposed to be imported.
Are the regulations in Canada stricter than in Hong Kong?
A little bit stricter, but there are some flexibilities depending on the special requests, you know.
You first started your business in Chinatown. Could you tell me a little more about the history of your business?
Oh, yeah. When I settled in Canada 22 years ago, I'm working for a Chinese herbal store for 5 years, and then I feel that the market is improving a lot. You know, there are many new potential customers. That's why I'm determined to establish a store of my own in Chinatown. And because the moving populations, later we determined to move to Richmond in order to explore potential patients.
What is different about practicing Chinese herbal medicine in Hong Kong and in Vancouver?
There are no significant difference. The thing is, you know, the Hong Kong herbal store are more comprehensive and more authority, but in Vancouver, we only import some of the selected common items. But the nature and the quality are more or less the same.
Where do you get the majority of your herbs from?
In order to make sure our quality of herbs are up to universal standard, we are inclined to get it from Hong Kong, because in Hong Kong, the administration is up to a universal standard.
Are there any other countries from which you import your herbs from?
Some of the subsidiary herbals are from mainland China, not elsewhere, only mainland China.
How difficult is it to import herbs from China and Hong Kong to Vancouver?
There is no major difficulties. The thing is, we have to shoulder extra transportation costs and interpretations of herbs to be given to the custom officer because of difference of culture background. But they are very open-minded to accept our detailed explanation.
Can you tell me a little more about what kind of herbs you have in store?
Oh, we have carried more than 300 to 400 items of herbs, you know. The herbs are classified into the several categories, you know. For example, the leaves, the flowers, the seed, and some herbs of mineral stone, some of insect, you know. This is the general information that I can tell you.
What is the quality of the herbs in the herbal stores and yours?
Oh, the quality are a high-end one. Why? Because we don't want to have the poor quality herbs because if you apply the poor quality herbs, the treatment and the duration of treatment will be lengthened. That means extra cost for the patient is not fair.
What are some common herbs used in Chinese herbal medicine?
The common herbs are normally for common cold, and particularly the common health problem is the sinus in Vancouver. And also because of the raining seasons, some of the people are suffering from rheumatism, you know, then we normally apply rheumatism herbs, you know. All these herbs are common use in our store, you know.
What are the regulations for the import of herbs?
The regulations, as long as it is in good condition, no fermentations and no insect, and not endangered species, and no poison, and no whatever additional preservative added, then this can be imported.
Is there a significant difference in cost between the TCM herbs sold in Hong Kong and in Vancouver?
Relatively, you know, in Vancouver, the cost of herbs as compared with Hong Kong is more or less the same. Why? Some people ask me why. Just because in Hong Kong, the store, you know, suffering from high rental. That means to say, in order to have a business to meet the ends meet, that means the price for the herbs has to be shifted to the consumers, you know. But in Vancouver, relatively, the rental is reasonable. That means the cost can be more reasonable.
What is the philosophy behind Chinese herbal medicine?
Oh, as far as I know, the philosophy of Chinese herbals is focusing on a holistic treatment, apart from the treatment of the symptoms. And the philosophy of herbal medicines, as far as I know, is derived from the Taoisms, because we focus on balance, you know, everything balanced. For example, we very focus on, you know, a balance between our physical condition and our mental condition. And we also very focus on the balance between our body temperature in relation to the outside world, you know. And we also focus on the balance between work and rest. And upset of this balance will lead to health problems. And that means to say, you know, we very focused on balance. And also, Chinese herb also very focused on balance between yin and yang, you know, yang and yin, you know. And maybe it is a jargon, you know. Yang means the function of the organs. The yin is a substance of the organs, you know. That means to say, if the body in good shape means then they should have perfect harmony. Some people right now, the modern people, have so many anxiety and some mental problems. That's because the mental activities has been abused, you know, too much, and that will lead to the physical problems, you know.
What is your personal philosophy behind good health?
To be honest, is at least 60% belong to the philosophy of Taoism and 40% derived from Confucianism and Buddhism, you know, because I'm quite Chinese orientated, you know.
How does Chinese herbal medicine work to treat the body?
The Chinese herbs really treat the bodies Why? It focuses on the root cause other than the symptoms. That means to say we focus on the holistic healing, you know. And by holistic meanings, we focus on prevention is better than cure. We also very focus on healthy lifestyle as well, you know.
In your opinion, what are the main factors in our society that cause illnesses?
As far as I know, in this modern society, you know, the common health problem is caused by one word, is pollution. From my understanding, pollution consists of different pollutions. The first of all is the food pollution, you know. Secondly is the air pollution. The third is the water pollution. The fourth is sound pollution. And finally is the spirit pollution. Just these five pollutions that really hurt our health, you know. And if you can get rid of this pollution, then I'm sure that you are absolutely disease-free.
How well established is Chinese medicine in Vancouver as a field and culture?
You know, as a result of the opening policy of China, particularly lately, you know, there are many people try to develop an interest in, you know, learning about the Chinese herbal medicine. But of course, there are rooms for developing, you know.
Do all the herbal stores in Vancouver know of each other? Which is to say, is there a network connecting every major herbal store?
In general, we have a mutually connective network, you know. We also share our updates, knowledge from every now and then through a regular meeting or assembly and conference, you know.
Do you feel that Vancouver has a strong Chinese medicine community?
I can tell, you know, there are new signs of improving. Why? Because many of customers from the mainstream look for some herbal supplements and look for some herbal knowledge, you know. It is a good sign.
What do you think is the future of the Chinese medicine community in Vancouver?
Oh, I'm sure that as the people are more open-minded, they are more eager to look for alternative medical treatments. I'm sure that Chinese herbal medicines will definitely have a good signs of growth, you know.
In your opinion, what could strengthen the local Chinese medicine community?
I would incline to suggest to do some more educational activities and do some campaign or something like that in order to alert the community of our Chinese medicine, you know.
Can you tell me more about how the local people in Hong Kong and China view Chinese medicine? Is it a common part of their lives?
Oh, yeah. They receive the Chinese herbal medicines as one of their lifestyle, you know, because they think that Chinese herbal has no side effect whatsoever.
Has the public view of traditional Chinese medicine changed over the last 20 years in Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. My few experience has tend to convince me that there are significant change over the last 20 years. Why? Because many new customers making a herbal inquiry, they are eager to seek some herbal information, you know, updates, you know, so that my understanding that in the near future, many people will look for the Chinese herbal medicine, you know.
How open are local Canadians to traditional Chinese medicine, do you find?
They are quite open-minded, but of course, it takes a certain period of time in order to fully develop their knowledge. But in general, as compared with 20 years ago, it's better now, you know, better. They are more open-minded. They are not so biased to the Chinese medicine, you know.
Is there anything you want to say to our listeners?
Oh, I see. You know, thank you for allowing me to say a few words. Why? Because right now I'm 68 years old, you know. My spice of life to be shared with you as far as possible, you know, try some Chinese herbal medicines as a try and see. And also, one piece of advice for you guys, try to have a regular lifestyle because apart from the food you eat, you know, healthy lifestyles has also a very significant impact on health as well, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
That was an interview with Raymond Fan, a herbalist and ex-business owner of herbal store Bun Chou Tong. We talked about the Taoist roots of Chinese medicine, his life as a herbalist, and the history of Bun Chou Tong.
And thanks to Chris Spangenberg for that feature interview with Raymond Fan on traditional Chinese medicine, part of a series, and perhaps we'll bring you a few more of those in coming weeks. Here at Speak Up, though, we are training a bunch of new people to participate in the program, and we are hoping to bring you a bunch of new voices in the coming weeks to participate in the program in a bunch of different ways, as people out there doing interviews, as people participating in discussions here in the studio, doing streeters, doing all sorts of stuff. So that's going to be really exciting for the program, and we're looking forward to bringing you some of those folks in the coming weeks. All right. We have a few minutes left in the show. Hope you enjoyed today's presentation. We brought you Vivian Frutal's interview with Dr. Yebom Sophie Jackson, VP for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at SFU, and Chris Spangenberg talking to Raymond Fan about traditional Chinese medicine. This is the Burton McPherson Trio. The track here is called Flower, and this is relatively new on our playlist, so I hope you enjoy. Been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tiefeld. I've been your host for the last hour. I'm going to be back on the radio Monday morning at 10 o'clock with a feature interview with Burnaby Councillor Richard Lee and Burnaby staff person Lisa Codd. We're going to be talking about the Burnaby City of Burnaby's efforts to both research and they're doing a bunch of research on a whole bunch of problematic bylaws, regulations, and practices put forth by the city of Burnaby, particularly in the early part of the last century, around the same time things that were happening on provincial and national levels, like the Chinese head tax. Well, there were a lot of similar sort of policies being put in place at the local level. Burnaby is pursuing a project to research those policies, to engage with the Chinese community about that history, ultimately leading to an apology coming up in a few years. So that's happening on Monday morning. We're going to be talking about that with Richard Lee and Lisa Codd. Really interesting bit of Burnaby history. That's it for today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in just a couple minutes. Well, not even a couple minutes, a couple seconds.